Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
This morning we conclude the series, and it feels weird to conclude the series the first time I'm doing it in front of all of you. Like, it's the first sermon of this series I'm actually preaching in front of all of you. But we're concluding the series. Again, as I said before, you can go back to YouTube and watch the first two sermons if you missed them. I know that many of you have commented that you really appreciated being able to get those sermons over the last couple weeks. So YouTube's always there. So if you ever need to go back or you just want to listen to something again, it's a great place to go back and listen to the sermons. If you're watching on YouTube or listening, we welcome you. Thank you for tuning in. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at two bold prayers so far that lead to transformation for any believer. First week, we talked about the prayer found in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, that asks God to search us, to reveal our fears, to uncover our sins, and to lead us. Last week, we looked at a prayer that asks God to break our hearts so that we can have spiritual breakthrough, so that we can do the work of the kingdom. Today, we're going to look at a prayer that asks God to send me, Lord. You may have heard it said, God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. As we talked last week about God breaking our heart for what breaks His, which is the lost, today we discuss asking God to send us out to reach the lost. Something I cannot mention enough is that these three prayers are all prayers that God will answer. How many of you have prayed a prayer and not known if God was going to answer it or not? Okay. These are three prayers that God will answer, and I would argue He's going to answer them pretty quickly. Most of the time when you pray, God, search my heart, He's going to start searching your heart. If you pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours, He's going to break your heart for what breaks His. And if you pray, God, send me, He's going to send you. May not be where you want to go, but He's going to send you. I've often prayed something like, God, show me your will for my life. How many of you prayed something like that? God, show your will for me. But I've hesitated at times to say, here I am, send me. Like, we'll ask God, what's your will? We won't pray, here I am, send me. Because that's a dangerous prayer, right? It's putting yourself out there. It's letting God do something with you that you may not be prepared for. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. You know, I notice that when I'm sick, that I say things like I'm from Minnesota. And I've never been from Minnesota. That's nothing against you, Dan. The other Minnesota fans that are out there. Kind of wish you had your quarterback back, huh? Old Sam Darnold playing in the Super Bowl today. Darnold McCarthy. Sorry. I digress. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Let me pause for just a second. The series that we're starting next week, just to kind of promote it a little bit. It's going to be all the way through Lent. And here's my encouragement to you. How many of you have one of these physical Bibles at home? Okay, physical Bible. How many of you bring them to church? Show of hands. Okay. A lot less. Okay. I understand we have phones for that and that sort of thing. Can I encourage you, if you have a physical Bible, bring it to church starting next week? It's important to have our Bibles with us. You know, I don't always preach with my Bible up here. You know, I write them down on paper, right? There went the bulletin. But I think it's going to be helpful in this next series. If you don't have a Bible, come see me. Be bold enough to come and see me. I will buy you a Bible because I think it's important for all of us to have physical Bibles. Again, this is a digression from my sermon, but I just want to tell you this if you haven't heard. I am very concerned as your pastor about artificial intelligence. Maybe some of you are too. One of the things that actually has me most concerned about artificial intelligence, when we have apps on our phone, the scripture might get changed. If you have a physical Bible, AI can't change it. Have a physical Bible on hand. It's important, okay? Surrendering to God's call without knowing the details is always scary. But I also think it's where purpose begins. When we surrender not knowing what's going to come, and we say, God, do what you're going to do, there's purpose that comes through that. Look, many of us want to be used by God, but we want it on our terms, don't we? And if not that, we at least want him to give us the plan first. Tell me the whole thing. What are you doing? Dan, you grew up in Minnesota. Did you ever think you were going to live in South Carolina when you were a kid? No. Did you ever think that the girl you would marry would be from somewhere called Florence, South Carolina? Nope. Did you know where Florence, South Carolina was when you were young? Nope. Okay. Would you change it? No, sir. God, let us know what you're up to and how you're going to use me. Here's the problem. We want clarity before obedience. We want to have clarity before obedience. Can I tell you? That's not how it works. It's not how it works. Dangerous faith says, yes, Lord, before we even know the assignment. God doesn't have to tell me all the details. I'm supposed to be obedient regardless. If we go back to Isaiah 6:8, we see that Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord asking, whom shall I send? And Isaiah responds, here I am, send me. This is a prayer of total surrender. You notice that Isaiah doesn't ask where, when, what, how. He just says yes. Isaiah recognizes that he doesn't need all the details because he knows that God is with him. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This will be familiar to many of you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Obedience and submission means we do what we are told and we don't need explanation. That doesn't mean we get to always understand. That doesn't mean that it'll always make sense. But here's the thing. Who here would say that God has a track record of faithfulness? God has a track record of faithfulness, church. I look at my life. I look at the lives of those of you who have sat down and heard your stories. God has been faithful. That doesn't mean it's been easy. That doesn't mean there hasn't been bumps in the road. But God's been faithful each and every step of the way. We don't need proof that God knows what he's doing, do we? We don't. You know why? We've got proof. Whether you realize it or not, the end of the story is here. Who wins? Let me rephrase that. Who has won? We have because God has, right? We know the end of the story. God is faithful because in the end, there's a new heaven and a new earth. There's no sorrow. There's no weeping. There's no mourning. There's no pain. No suffering. Because God is faithful. Now in your bulletin, there's a section for some notes if you'd like to write them down. I'm going to give you three simple things, three simple truths that I think will help us to live this prayer out, this send me, Lord, prayer out. First thing is this. God reveals his calling to the surrendered. God reveals his calling to the surrendered. That when you surrender your life, God will reveal his calling to you. Now, calling doesn't necessarily mean you're going to become a missionary to Zimbabwe or something, okay? Now, for some of you, that might be the case. It may mean that God is calling you right where you're placed right now to do something right now, right here in the place that you're at, the job you're at, the home you're in. Isaiah's vision came after he encountered God's holiness. When we surrender our lives to Christ, like it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we submit obediently to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus says this, and this will be familiar to many of you, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God will honor his promise to reveal his calling to us. We have to be willing to obey. Second thing, God uses the willing. God uses the willing. Guess what? If Wendy chooses not to follow God, not to do what he asks, she misses the blessing of being used by God. Right? God isn't looking for perfect people. Just people who are available and obedient. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is saying here that his only mission in life is to testify to God's grace. It's not to be a good person, although that's important. His only mission, his only drive is to share the grace of God with other people. To be sent. He's not trying to hang on to his life. We know this about Paul's life. He certainly did not try to hang on to his life. He was willing to say whatever needed to be said, even if it brought death upon him. And it did. He's trying to live his life for Christ and Christ's mission. And this passage also ties into our final truth this morning. God's mission is worth everything. God's mission is worth everything. I'm going to pause for a second. Your board, your church board, has appointed a group of people to come together over the next month. They met last night for the first time to discern what is our mission, our vision, and our values as a church. And I can tell you, after 2 hours with them last night, God is at work. Just another example of God being at work. God is calling us, church. And God is sending us out into Greenwood to do work for him and to build his kingdom. I think, Chris, you would agree, that's the main thing that came out of last night, is that God is sending us uniquely out into Greenwood to do the ministry, to build God's kingdom. There are a lot of churches in town. I don't know what their missions are, okay? I don't know what exactly God is doing specifically through them. But he's calling us to go. To go. Paul states it in that last verse. The only thing that matters ultimately in this life for a believer is the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Church, when we see what God sees, we'll do what God says. When we see what God sees, we'll do what God says. How many of you remember the WWJD bracelets? How many of you got into that whole craze back in the late 90s, early 2000s, okay? I'm not wearing it today. I forgot to put it on. So, my pastor friend, Eric, who is my lead pastor at my last church, he sent my family new bracelets. And to the naked eye, if you're not paying attention, they would look just like a regular WWJD bracelet. But instead of WWJD, it's DWJD. And the challenge was, stop asking what would Jesus do. Do what Jesus did. We have the answers of what Jesus would want us to do, right? It's kind of a cop-out for us to say, well, I need to ask God first whether I should do this or not. If it's obedience and you know the Spirit's telling you to do it, do it. Stop waiting. Go. Does anyone know, I read it a little bit ago, but do you remember, what is the first word in Matthew 28:19? Go. It's an action word. Go. He doesn't say, wait, sit, contemplate, think about it. Go. Stop waiting. Go. Now, sometimes we have to patiently wait, right, on the Lord. Sometimes we have to let the Spirit speak. But when the Spirit speaks, go. You don't sit. You don't say, well, you know, somebody else will do it. It's not the right attitude of a Christian, of a follower of Christ. We go. And this is why we see these three prayers are so dangerous. They're all tied to one another. Search me. Break my heart. Send me. They build off of one another. When we allow God to search us, he will cleanse us. When we are cleansed and transformed, God will break our hearts for what breaks his. And finally, God will send us out to reach the lost if we surrender and are obedient to his word. Friends, are you willing to say, here I am, send me? Even before you know the details. What step of obedience is God calling you to take today? Is he asking you to share your faith with someone? Is God asking you to step out in faith with a job opportunity? If you surrender and step out in obedience and answer his call, I can promise you only one thing for sure. You won't be disappointed because you're following Jesus' call. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean there's not going to be struggles. But I can promise you, you won't be disappointed if you're following God and listening to him. We are not a tiny church, right? We're a small church, but not a tiny church. In a group this size of adults and teenagers and kids, there are people in this room that are called into ministry that are not right now answering that call. There are people in this room that very likely are called to be missionaries who are not responding to that call right now. And there may be a variety of reasons why you're not responding to that call. You may be saying, Pastor, I'm too old. I'm tired. How old was Moses? 80? How many of you are younger than 80? That's almost all of you. Okay? You're not too old to respond to God's call. Some of you, God has placed someone on your heart. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's somebody in your work or your school, in your neighborhood. Maybe they're in the homeowners association. I don't know. That got a lot of struggles. Apparently you don't want to share Jesus to the homeowners association. God's got somebody he's placed on your heart. And if that name just popped in your head and you're saying, ooh, Pastor, stepping on my toes now. God's saying, listen, go. Share the gospel with that person. Stop being afraid if you're going to offend them, if you're going to lose their friendship, or any of the various other myriad things that we make up in our head to excuse ourselves from sharing the gospel. Stop it. Let that stuff go and share the gospel. Because you know what's not going to happen? God's kingdom's not going to grow if his people don't listen and aren't obedient. We are not going to get the blessing to see God at work amongst us if we're not faithful and obedient to what God wants us to do. Amen? Church, if we pray this dangerous prayer together, we will become a church that doesn't just attend services. We'll be a church that is sent out to change Greenwood and beyond. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with you, and let it begin with us.